Welcome to the Lean Health Tech Podcast, where industry professionals discuss trends and topics where efficiency, healthcare, and technology meet. My name is Taryn Shipley, and I'm your host. Our guest speakers today are Andrew Escobar and Emily Michelle. Andrew is the Chief Operating Officer at Pulmonary Services Consultants, and Emily is the CEO and co-founder of Flex Together. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are kind of a dynamic duo when it comes to diagnostics and management of chronic pulmonary conditions. So Andrew, let's start off by hearing a little bit about what you do, and then we'll jump into what Emily does.
As you stated, I am the COO of Pulmonary Services. We are located in Ocala, which is in Central Florida. We have been doing mobile pulmonary function testing for the last 15 years, and we do full PFT studies, pre and post spirometry, MVV, lung volumes, lung diffusion, and we bring it all mobily into the primary care setting. And we also do submaximal exercise testing.
So you're focused on the initial detection of a pulmonary condition, right?
Yes, that is correct. Our main goal is to empower the primary care doctor in regards to early detection, diagnosis, and treatment of the pulmonary disease patient, mainly COPD and asthma.
And then once those patients have been identified, Emily, that's kind of where you guys step in, right?
Yeah, you got it. So at Flex Together, we are radically expanding access to pulmonary rehabilitation. Currently, nationally, less than 4% of chronic lung disease patients are actually getting access to pulmonary rehab. It's not a new service line. It's been around for many years. It's very well studied. It's been shown to reduce readmissions, improve quality of life for patients, reducing shortness of breath, reducing frailty, a lot of really amazing outcomes. But because of capacity, transportation, there's all sorts of barriers that prevent patients from accessing pulmonary rehab, including not even knowing that they have a pulmonary disease. And so we're able to use our physical, speech, and occupational therapy services to be able to really fully help patients, both in terms of physical activity with those one-on-one sessions, but also cognitive and emotional wellness that comes with respiratory disease, to really, you know, help patients breathe strong and live more active and fulfilling lives. And, you know, in our work with Andrew, a lot of our patients are not making it to pulmonary care and pulmonologists. And so being able to not only see patients with referrals from pulmonologists, but also trying to get ahead of the curve, finding those patients who are still in primary care and be able to get them respiratory services with that oversight from the primary care physician as well.
The clinical benefits are very clear to what you guys are doing. Let's talk about the financial benefits as well, because budgets are tight these days, let's be real. So what are the financial implications of identifying a larger population with chronic pulmonary conditions?
In regard to the financial arrangement that our pulmonary diagnostics program brings to the primary care setting, is that on the fee-for-service side, we can provide the office with CPT codes for the services that we provide. So we are not the only company that participates in the fee-for-service revenues that go on with the pulmonary diagnostics. And as I know, there are a lot of organizations now kind of straddling that line between fee-for-service and value-based care. So the revenues that our program helps generate helps some of those companies or organizations that are trying to get into VBC a little easier because there is revenue generation.
Okay. And then Emily, on your part, better managing that population, you did mention, I think it was reduced readmissions.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we are a telehealth practice. So being able to get to those patients who it might not make sense to get in person and also might be too frail to actually go in person. You know, there's been a lot of research on reducing hospitalizations, readmissions, and also reducing total cost of care for these patients. We can help them both with diagnosis and with pulmonary rehab and education, better manage their disease, understand their triggers, understand which exacerbations are worth going into the ER for and which ones maybe it makes sense to just call your physician and get the appropriate medication to work through that in a home setting. So really being able to support the health system and in fee-for-service relationships, that, you know, being able to bill for synchronous visits makes sense for us. And being able to see patients as long as it's medically necessary, versus a more traditional pulmonary rehab program does have the lifetime limitations. So it can be a little tricky deciding how long to keep a patient for any particular session because they might have to come back at a later date. We don't have that dilemma with physical, speech, and occupational services. We see patients for as long as they need us, and if they have to come back, because unfortunately, chronic lung disease is chronic, they're happy to do that, and we can get them back to the outcomes that they're looking for in their personal health goals.
My next question is kind of loaded, but it's how did there get to be such a big gap in the US healthcare system where there's such a low identification rate of these COPD or these asthma patients and we're not managing them well? Like, how did we get here? Why is this population so unrecognized and underserved?
So the reason that pulmonary disease is so poorly identified is simply because there is not a great screening tool. Let me take you on a patient's journey when they go to their primary care office. They check in and then they get triaged. Somebody takes their weight, they take their temperature, they maybe do fasting blood labs. They have a lot of different tools at their disposal to help them identify, is your blood pressure high? Is your temperature high? Is your A1C high? Things of that nature. Now, when it gets to the lungs, generally there is a questionnaire that's part of the EHR and they listen with their stethoscope. But again, there is no measurable device other than a spirometer that is in most primary care offices. And therefore, the earliest signs of airflow limitation get missed. As Ms. Jean Wright, the CEO of the COPD Foundation, has stated, that most COPD patients do not get their initial diagnosis with 7 to 10 years after the initial signs and symptoms of COPD start to show themselves. And that's the number one reason that identification of a chronic disease like COPD gets missed so regularly, day in and day out.
Yeah, and I would say on the pulmonary rehab side, a lot of folks we talked to were like, oh, I thought this was just like getting older. Sort of within the healthcare ecosystem, as Andrew and I have been going around, we've been pitching, et cetera, we get a lot of comments that, oh, that's so niche. But it really isn't niche. There's 53 million chronic lung disease patients in the country, and that's just the ones that we've been able to find and diagnose. Already, I think it estimated at least 16 million long COVID patients. It's a growing space, but for whatever reason, even following a respiratory pandemic, it seems to be a little bit of the stepchild of the healthcare system, to Andrew's point that we're not prioritizing finding these patients. I think a lot of these patients, at least on the COPD side, it comes from smoking. And so there's a lot of shame in having COPD, which is totally not needed and or necessary or even helpful. Wondering that they did this to themselves instead of being like, how do we find the best approach? How do we help patients feel better and, live an active and fulfilling life and try to reduce the shame and stigma that surrounds some sort of respiratory diseases?
What are some examples of folks that you've partnered with? Are you partnering with large healthcare systems, with private practices like direct primary care clinics, skilled nursing facilities, rehab centers?
Yeah, I was gonna say I can take that, and Andrew's done some work as well. So on Flex Together side, we were part of the Cedars-Sinai Accelerator Program. We're part of the Project Healthcare Program with the Nashville Entrepreneurship Center. We've also worked with the AARP Foundation and had some great collaborations incoming with institutions like UCSF and some other ones down the pipeline. So there definitely is interest in being able to move this problem along. And get it the window and the resources it needs, but there's always more work to be done. And Andrew, I won't speak for him, has been doing this work for over 15 years, and I'll let him speak more about the collaborations he's had.
Over my time in pulmonary diagnostics, we have seen the shift from fee for service over to this new value-based care model. And being that we're here in Central Florida, there is a lot of Medicare Advantage. And so over the years, we have marketed specifically to the individual primary care practices. But in the last 2 or 3 years, we've made a shift to trying to reach out more to the ACOs, the MAOs, ACO Reach, the different payer models that CMS has come out with now. We've really been trying to align ourselves with some of these larger organizations because the standardization of pulmonary care across an entire group is more important than just going out and identifying that one individual practice is trying to take care of the pulmonary patient in a better way using pulmonary diagnostics.
Yeah, and I think to that point, what Flex Together is working on now with this, diagnostics through treatment model is truly new and novel. Presenting this at the American Thoracic Society conference this year, I think there's something really interesting that, we can come together. I think like many other, departments and disciplines, there's a lot of silos in respiratory care, and being able to bundle that diagnosis as well as that treatment through pulmonary rehab really allows us to take some of the burden off of the primary care setting for those ACO customers and be able to meaningfully, increase their revenue while also reducing total cost of care and readmission. So, letting them have their cake and eat it too. And so that's been our newest path moving forward.
When you guys create a partnership with a healthcare organization, how long does it take to get your services up and running?
At the individual practice level, we can get started as soon as the office is ready to. But in regard to dealing with these larger organizations like the ACOs or Medicare Advantage plans, we are still going down the pathway of trying to acquire one of those contracts. But I would feel comfortable in saying that once all the paperwork was done, we would be able to get started doing testing in the primary care offices within 60 to 90 days.
Is there a tech component? Like, does it require configuration? Does documentation on your guys's part collaborate and integrate to the existing electronic health record for your partner?
Yeah, with Flex Together, we already are accepting referrals, have already been working with and starting to build those integrations for value-based care organizations. So being able to use existing systems or being able to tap into their own systems is definitely something we're able to do. I think part of the Flex Together and, our work with Andrew is really giving physicians an insight into what is happening. A lot of sort of traditional models have a little bit of a black box problem that, we don't know if patients are getting in. We don't know what patients are doing once they're there. And what we're able to do, because we're a tech-enabled service, we're able to, be able to track RPE, ulcer CAT scores, MMRC, obviously all the diagnostic testing that Andrew is doing, and be able to relay that back to the physician as needed as it's coming in, and be able to really spot things that might be out of our scope and be able to facilitate those organizations getting involved quicker. Because, for us, we're seeing patients 2 to 3 times per week. We have a lot of insight on that patient. And so we can sort of tell if they're at risk for exacerbation and be able to, send relevant notifications back to their provider and be like, hey, it might be time to reach out. There might be something coming up the pipe. So really working with those existing systems to ensure that patients get the best outcomes.
Where are you guys headed in the future when it comes to company goals and expansion?
Always looking for more partners, resources, collaborators to help us solve the problem. We're rolling out in several states. Fee-for-service model, we are state by state, but in a value-based care setting, we're really willing to go where the problem is. We see a lot of activity in the Southeast because if you follow, smoking, you generally follow respiratory disease. And so that's sort of where we're looking, but we're really open to collaborating with folks that really understand the scope of this problem and want to be able to meaningfully expand access to care for these individuals.
Andrew, do you have future plans for expansion and scaling as well?
Absolutely. The Central Florida market has been very good to us on the diagnostic testing side of things, but I have really learned through the last couple of years that this problem extends itself beyond the borders of Florida. And as Emily had stated, I was out at ATS in San Diego a couple weeks ago as a guest of Flex Together. And I really got to talk to a lot of pulmonologists, talk to a lot of drug reps, the vendors, and just I really could see it scale how big this problem really is. And so that's why we have started reaching out to some organizations outside of Florida to try to help them with their COPD population.
Yeah. And at this point, you know, we're, you know, active in California, Florida, Vermont, Tennessee is probably next. Unfortunately, respiratory disease is a national crisis.
Andrew, this might be a silly question, but it's in person to test for respiratory diagnoses. You can't do it virtually.
Partially correct. I know that there are some groups out there that are doing RPM with patient-initiated spirometry, but as far as I see things, I would really like to see pulmonary diagnostics played out more in the primary care setting or in the pulmonology offices, simply because spirometry is an effort-based maneuver. And if the patient is not giving good effort, then the data collected could be compromised. There is a laundry list of reasons why somebody should have a pulmonary function test, but the number one reason is simply a history of smoking. If you're a current or former smoker, then airflow limitation is more than likely going to occur sometime in your lifetime, and a measurement should be taken.
As an epic person, I immediately think to how can we integrate some sort of prompt or reminder for clinicians when they're answering those smoking social determinant of health questions. If the answer is yes, current or former smoker, can we somehow program in the electronic medical record that it pops up, this patient needs a screening for, you know, a pulmonary function test if they haven't had one in the last year? So that's where my mind immediately goes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of our work with our ACO clients is really developing that criteria so that they are getting those notifications. The other way that we work with these customers is, you know, giving them our criteria and having them spit out a patient list. We're able to contact those patients directly, get them scheduled in for the PFT, because as you know, it's one thing to know that you should be doing something. It's another thing to have the bandwidth and the capacity to actually do it. So part of what we offer our clients is not only criteria that, you know, through Andrew's work with these patient populations is, you know, a really great way to discover that there might be undiagnosed patients in your population, but also the effort to actually get them in the door, get them to their primary care office or wherever they happen to be seeing that provider, get them screened, and then actually be able to do something with that information. Because, you know, so many patients, and Andrew talks about this all the time, is that, you know, they're given a diagnosis and they're not really sure what to do with it. And so because we have this hybrid approach of having an in-person test and then a telehealth pulmonary rehab program, there's a lot of education once you get that diagnosis, understanding what to do and how to make it better after that. We've developed criteria that we've found that can catch those patients who might be going under the radar up to this point.
Using the terminology criteria, I mean, for folks, for health systems on Epic, they have registries where you can enter criteria and it holds a list of patients and any data point you want on those patients. So it could hold whether or not they're a smoker, their last pulmonary function test, whether or not they're enrolled in something like Flex Together for respiratory therapy. Coming at it from my angle of being an Epic expert, there are so many tools that could help support your guys's business model and help support that population. So it's really cool synergy.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that was the point of view that we took. We're like, we don't want to break the wheel, right? We want to enhance the wheel. And so to your point, ways of finding those patients, the technology already exists. It's just the information on how to find them. And so part of what we provide when we work with a client is being able to create that, you know, whether that's BMI, last testing, there's a whole, as Andrew said, a whole laundry list that we've developed. Be able to put in those criteria, get that patient list, and then actually, if wanted, facilitate getting those patients in for those PFTs, be able to, you know, catch those exacerbations before, you know, they're discharged from the hospital and then they get their PFT. So trying to get ahead of the curve and help patients stay healthy and active at home.
Are there any last thoughts or words of advice that either of you would like to share?
A gentleman that I met on LinkedIn that you've had as a guest, Dr. John Hart, one of his favorite things to say is partnerships and access. And that's what we're trying to build here, is we're trying to build partnerships in the primary care community to close care gaps and give access to those pulmonary patients that are undiagnosed and that are misdiagnosed.
Yeah, I don't think I could have said it better myself. I think, you know, radically expanding access to care, getting patients in the door, being able to be in this ecosystem that we're helping physicians, we're helping insurance, we're helping health systems, all get to the same goal is a nice place to be. And so creating more collaborations is in the best interest of patients being able to breathe strong.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights around diagnosis and management of pulmonary conditions.
This concludes today's Lean Health Tech podcast. If you're a listener and would like to hear a certain topic covered in future episodes, please let me know by leaving a review or comment. Thanks for joining, and be sure to check out the next episode.